Welcome back to Enlighten Up for episode 76, The Ancient Practice of Eidetics and Healing Beyond the Conscious Mind with Wendy Yellen. Wendy is taking us all through a journey, yes, even you today, of healing using eidetic imagery. We're going to find out what this ancient practice is all about and why it is so different from most of the healing that many of us go through. What separates it from everything else? How do we move out of our limited minds and conventional way of thinking so that we can go into a deeper healing that feels real? We're going to talk about all of that today. We're also going to do a major demonstration. Now, what's really great about this show is for the very first time, we have recorded the show on video as well. So if you're new to our YouTube channel, please go check it out. We're going to leave a link for this actual video below so that you can actually follow along and watch us all go through the healing journey. Now, you are also invited to go along the healing journey as well and see what comes up for you, as Wendy will be taking the entire audience through this. So let's jump right into the episode and find out all of the great information that Wendy has to share with us, the healing journey she guides us through, and how it all deepens our healing for lasting results. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Enlighten Up. I am here with Lisa Bryan, and we are joined by Wendy Yellen, a best-selling author and named one of the international top three transformational experts in her field. She supports people of heart and integrity around the world to live a full, passionate, successful, and unshackled life of love, awareness, and compassion without it costing their soul. Now, this is a first for us at Enlighten Up. We are actually recording video to this. And hello. Wendy, welcome to the show. You are our first guinea pig with this.
Yay, I love it.
We're so happy to have you on. And, you know, I'm really intrigued about the show because I had not even heard what eidetics was. And we're going to be talking all about eidetics and how that helps us heal on a deeper level and get past a lot of the conscious blocks that we don't even realize we're putting up. And so, Wendy, can you just let us know, what is eidetics? Like, and how did you discover eidetics?
Yes, yes. I'm pronouncing it a little bit differently, eidetics, as if
eidetics.
As an I, yeah. So yes, there are training institutes all over the world, and it's been around since the early 60s. But it's a well-kept secret, so we're doing something to change that here today. And what happened was actually 30 years ago, when I was living in, I think, Houston, I had heard about eidetics, and I went to a training with the founder of eidetics, Dr. Achter Asen. But at the time, I was really very, very tight and closed, and I was very mental. I'm smart, so I was relying on my intellect to take me forward, and that was all I was using. I wasn't using any other part of myself. So when I got to the training, everybody there had experience with eidetics except for me, and it didn't make any sense to me. I thought they were all crazy. I really thought they'd drunk the Kool-Aid, actually. And my mind just went, just like going and going. And I was talking to myself and I was judging. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. And how could that be? And I literally couldn't hear a word that he was saying. So 20 years later, I dialed a telephone number by mistake, quote unquote. And it happened to be the head of the International Training Institute, who I had met. I thought I was calling a book publisher who was on the same little Rolodex card. And she and I reconnected. And at that point, and we may get into this later, I was in a very, very, very difficult place. I was in a business with my father. I'd quit being a therapist. I'm shortening it here. I'd quit being a therapist, and I was trying to do a business with my father, and I had no idea how ADHD he was. And I was pouring money and time and energy, and I was a mess. And I hired her to keep me from killing my father, basically. who I love. I love my father, but I was like screaming at him because it was taking all of us down the drain. And then I still didn't really understand eidetics, but at least I started being a little less crazy with my father. And eventually I went to another training. She so basically the same woman said, we're going to start doing the 2-year training, well, 3-year training in eidetics. Come to the opening training. Dr. Austin's going to lead it. It's just one time. She said, I was into how easy can you stand it at the time. And she said, fly to New York, get on, take a cab. They didn't have Uber and Lyft then. Take a cab, come to my house. I will feed you. I will put you up and I will drive you to Connecticut every day for the training. You just got to get your butt here. So how easy can you stand it? And I got there and I thought, oh my goodness, this is real change. People actually can change. And I'm seeing it. I'm feeling it. I was feeling so many ways that I was blocking feeling better right there in the training. And I thought, this is what I've been looking for. I'm going back to being a therapist again. And I dove in with both feet.
Wow.
Wow. So what exactly is eidetics? Like, how is it different from everything else?
Yeah, thank you for that. Well, I think I've been working with people for 40 years. So to me, it's different because of the foundational concepts and principles of it. It works from a different part of who we are. And that's why we're going to do a demonstration experience of it later so that you can everyone can understand this, because you can't understand with your mind. You cannot. However, everybody always wants to. So I'll give you an explanation. Especially a little bit.
Brian wants to.
I know. I've been talking to you in my head, Brian, since yesterday.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So eidetics, the word is from the ancient Greeks, and it means, it has to do with an image that's deep inside of us. There are thousands, not a visualization, has nothing to do with that. And the images have sensations, feelings, emotions connected to them. And they have loads and layers of meaning. And they're formed at times, difficult times. So, for example, not just necessarily a single trauma, but let's say I'm thinking of a client whose mother was, shall we say, very depressed. And so every time my client would look at her mother, what she would see was like this darkness. You know, she would experience in her little 5-year-old self darkness, you know, sadness, closedness, blocking of energy, not available. And so my client would go deep inside and feel terrible, because we need our parents, right? We need our parents, and we need them, that availability as a little kid. So this sadness, this darkness, this depression affects her, and it affects her in terms of kind of closing herself down more tightly and feeling like she's not good enough. And this is how it affected her, and feeling that maybe she shouldn't do anything to disturb her mother. That was a big part of it. And so that's repeated trauma or repeated experience over decades, really, for her, but especially when she was growing up. So she has an image of her mother that way and lots of feelings. However, we're not talking about history or memory at all, even though what I just described was a history and a memory. We're talking about the way that we've taken in the world inside of us. So now, even though this client is, you know, 50s, 60s, 40s, 50s, 60s, I'm just shifting. I'm not explaining one client because I don't want to identify any clients. She feels that way now inside. This is how she relates to the world in terms of how she feels in her body, in her physical health, her, the way she is at work, the way she is in relationship. This is like a template or a filter between her and the world. It has nothing to do, I'm underlining this, with the fact that it's a memory or history. It has, it's showing the consciousness inside the whole person. And so what eidetics does is it goes to those places which are images and feelings and sensations with multiple layers of meaning. And instead of going to our head to try to solve it, the images themselves always go, tend towards healing or potentials, our potentials. And that's not so strange, because if you have a cut on your finger, if you clean it and keep it clean and you're relatively healthy, that cut is going to heal. It doesn't need us to fix it. It knows what to do. Well, our psyche has the same abilities, but, and I'm underlying this, it's not from the intellect. The intellect and memory and history can only regurgitate or go back to what we already know. But these eidetic images that the ancient Greeks called gifts from the gods, they're a different part of our consciousness that the ancient Greeks knew about, but a lot of people don't know about now. Most people don't know about. And yet they're profoundly healing in ways that most people have given up on. So, for example, let me give you a wonderful example. People come to me because their business isn't as successful as they like, or their relationships aren't as successful as they like, or they feel closed down, or their lives look mostly good from the outside, very good often, but they just don't feel good inside, and they know it. They just don't know what to do. So one of my very successful, at a very high level job, clients, she was doing great at work, but what she had lost was something that was very important to her and close to her heart, which was her eagerness. And in the work that we've been doing, she said the other day, she said, you know, eager is in my repertoire now. She said, it's just naturally comes to me. I started to feel eager again. And she said, I'm so glad because I missed it.
So two things for our audience. When you see Lisa jump and chatter her teeth, that's light language, which she did a little bit there. But I want to remind Nicole, this is not the first time you've heard the word eidetic on our show. I've mentioned it at least three times.
That's absolutely true.
I have an eidetic memory, and it's very similar. Yes. Eidetic memory uses imagery. So it's interesting to hear you describe it, because it's obviously related, or the words wouldn't be the same. Yes. But it's making it a verb is obvious. It's a very different process.
It's totally different. I'm so glad you mentioned that, Brian, because that's the way most people have heard of the word eidetic memory, exactly. And this is it is similar in terms of the fact that you're capturing something and just that you have it, but everything else about it is different. You're right. I agree with you.
Wow. So should we go into a demonstration and then kind of go from there? Because I feel like we're not going to really grasp this concept until we actually go through it. Because I'm kind of grasping some of it, but I feel like I'm an experiential learner myself. So I know that I'm going to understand this so much more going through it. And it's going to be really cool, I think, for Lisa and I to go through this. Because so for our audience, Lisa and I are going to be taken through this, but you are all going to be taken through this as well, right, Wendy?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
We're kind of like the surrogates in a way.
Yes. Yes. Everybody listening is going to have their own experience, completely different. And we'll probably see that with Nicole and Lisa, with the two of you.
So it sounds like this is for Nicole, Lisa, our entire audience, and not Brian. That's what I'm hearing.
Yep.
That's great. Okay.
You know, is this the way you two set it up? Because I'm happy for Brian to have an experience too, if you want to, Brian.
It's okay.
You know, it's up to you.
Brian, do you want to have an experience?
Yeah, let's join in. Let the skeptic join in.
Fire away.
Okay. So, because it'll be really good, because I'm sure that, again, having listened to many of your shows, I'm sure your listeners are here for all three of you.
Of course.
Right?
Right.
So your experience, Brian, will be very similar in certain ways to some of your listeners. So I think it would be really helpful.
We have one skeptical audience member and everyone else drank the Kool-Aid, as you said.
Everybody else just likes to laugh at poor Brian who doesn't get it.
Oh, I get it.
I don't think so.
He just doesn't know we're laughing.
Well, if you can see behind me, I just covered my mirror with a scarf. And he's like, oh, I see you covered your mirror so we don't have any opened portals happening on the show. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Can I ask, what was it you said what Lisa was doing was light language when you, because I thought you were telling Brian to be quiet.
She started, Lisa channels light language.
It's right there.
Yes, I know.
Like,
so you were channeling?
Yeah. Right,
when you see her, like, she'll hunch her shoulders forward, it usually is some sort of jolt of energy.
My teeth chatter.
And then to keep it from coming out, her teeth chatter like that. So now that the audience can see us, when she, you know, because when we're meeting people and she does that, they're like, are you okay? And,
Must be cold in the room, so, huh?
Like, are you all right? I'm okay.
Well, I'm curious, Lisa, do you think it would be important or helpful to say what they were saying, what you were getting?
Sure, we can start with some light language. They seem very eager, which they always are, I think. So, you know, Nicole and I always like to say something before we start anything, really, just some added love and goodness coming in.
Grounded energy. So,
grounded mm-hmm. energy, yeah. Whoa, that made me really hot.
I felt that in my second chakra.
Oh,
I feel it in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Where do you feel it, Brian?
I felt very soothed by that. It was I felt like I was having a lullaby sung to me. That's how it was.
It's changed over time. The version that she's channeling now sounds vastly different than when it started. My rational brain hears H-I-J-K a lot in this current iteration. And that's how I know they're different. I hear certain sounds. And, you know, when we went to South Dakota and visited where the Lakotans, the Lakotan people are from, I swear she sounded like, I wouldn't know what someone speaking Lakotan would sound like, but I would assume that's what she was channeling because it sounded very Native American. So it very much changes and evolves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find it interesting what's going to come out of my mouth, like, and where the sounds are going. And there was a lot of t's today, and I don't normally do that necessarily. It's different every time.
Yeah,
but it felt soothing. It did feel very soothing. It really did.
Yeah, I felt like, oh, that's a nice way to start.
Yeah. So,
okay.
They're happy now. We're all happy.
Okay.
We started off right.
Good. All right. So we'll go through an experience. So let me give you a couple things to know, which I will repeat during the experience that will help make it more powerful for everybody. First of all, is these images, they really have a mind of their own, just like the finger that has a cut, it knows what to do. So if you try to control them or judge them or think you're supposed to feel good in them and try to make them look or feel a certain way, you're going to lose all the power. It's just going to be another controlled conscious mind experience. And since we already do that, all of us, there's no point. So an eidetic is coming from a different place. So that means treat it like a thoroughbred horse that really wants to go and let it have a mind of its own. Second of all, some people will see these images very, very vividly and have all kinds of details, and other people it'll be more vague. And unlike most of Western society, where we're always being asked to focus and concentrate and see things clearly and know things right away, that isn't how the mind works best. The mind works best when it has more freedom. So just remember that it's not supposed to look or feel a certain way. That's also a really important part. And it doesn't have to be vague or vivid. Don't try to make it more vivid. Just let it be exactly the way it is. The other thing is, I sort of mentioned before, this is, even though we're going to be talking about parents in a moment, the image has to do with parents. Please remember that this has nothing to do with your parents. It has nothing to do with your relationship with your parents. It has nothing to do with whether you've forgiven your parents or not. It has nothing to do with the people who are your parents. Now, it's no matter how strongly I say this, it's hard for people to hear that, because we are going to see images of parents. I'm really telling you that we're working with the way you are, each of us is inside of us. That's what we're doing. And later, after we do the experience, I'll talk not just, I know one other piece that I should say right now is it's not about meaning. Everybody now, it's so common for people to like understand, okay, I need more flow in my life. Now I'm going to get more flow, right?
Like right. The exact opposite.
It sounds ridiculous, but that's what we do. Or people get ideas from their images and then they think, okay, well, that's a prescription of how I'm supposed to behave now. How am I going to do that? But this is not the work we're doing. It is not about a prescription for how to behave. The images actually will help take you there. So that's too much for right now. It's not going to make any sense. So let's just go into the image. You can do this with your eyes open or closed. Obviously not closed if you're driving. I wouldn't suggest you do this while you're driving, because you'll get much more from it if you're sitting still. But eyes open or closed. Here we go. See your parents in the house that you think of as a home. The house you grew up in, from a time when you're still growing up. Whether there were two parents there or not, don't try to think of a certain time. Don't pick a house. Just let your image slate be clean and allow an image to emerge. Again, the directions are, see your parents in the house that you think of as a home, the house you grew up in. Now, for some of you, this is going to take longer, so you'll need to pause. And for me, it would have taken a lot longer. For those of you who are ready, now see as you see your parents, notice in this specific image, where are they? What are they doing? And how do you feel when you see them? Again, if there was divorce or death, don't worry about that. Just see what you see. See who you see, even if it doesn't make historical sense. Now, if you want to go a little deeper, make sure that, well, let me give you another suggestion first. After you've seen where they are and what they're doing and how the young you feels seeing them, really take that in. And now notice, where are you in this specific image, at this specific moment? What are you doing? And how are you feeling? Now keep looking for another moment. We could do this for quite a long time, but for the sake of demonstration, we'll just do it for a short time. As you keep looking at your image, it doesn't necessarily have to move like a movie, but it might. Or you might just let yourself really take in whatever you do see, whether it's moving or it's more or less the same. It doesn't matter. What you really want to do is see first, number one, see what you see. A lot of times when I started, I actually wasn't looking at the image. I was too busy thinking. So you want to actually use your eyes. What do I actually see? What are they doing and how am I feeling? And then to whatever extent you can, some of you will be able to feel, some of you will just feel nothing, and some of you will just be in your head. So look at, as you look at your parents, what are you feeling? Keep thoughts out if you can, and to do that, don't shove them away. Just keep your eyes back on your image. That's the way I'm suggesting that you do this work. What do I see first? And then what am I feeling? What's the young me feeling? And then notice, is this feeling familiar to you? Familiar in your body, familiar in certain situations now, even if it's something that you've worked on, quote unquote, or you feel better about, but in the tougher times, is it something familiar? And notice that. Now, if there's a gap between how you feel in the image and how you feel here, then I'm really strongly suggesting that you stay in the image, looking at it, and experiencing it, because like the ancient Greek said, this is a gift from the gods. And it can be very profound for you. So come on back. I want to talk to Lisa, Nicole, and Brian and see what happened. And then we'll kind of talk about, maybe work with these. And then I'll talk to all of you in the audience and let you know more about what you might have been seeing. So who wants to start? I'm going to make some notes.
I'm going to start because I want you to focus on Lisa and Nicole, because this is my eidetic memory. I can go back and see images like this anytime I want. So when I think it's more challenging for, I think it's going to be more challenging for you guys, because I can do this. I can see my past like a three-dimensional model and move around the house and experience things. And, you know, I saw my mom in the kitchen. I saw my dad in the chair reading. I felt very indifferent, because if you asked me to picture my parents now, what would I say? I would see my mom in the kitchen and I would see my dad in his chair reading, and they were just younger. But I felt very indifferent. I felt very detached, because I use this tool I've done this before. I was like, oh, what's, you know, I can see all those
things.
But
how
things.
Did you feel?
I felt very, I don't know. I felt much the same I did now.
So my question would be just not just for you, Brian, but for everyone that has an experience like that. So yes, you can see images clearly. And in this work, exactly what Lisa said, the point is not just to see, but to feel. Mm-hmm. And you did. And this is really key and really important. Your words were what you experience in that image is indifferent and detached. So you don't have to answer, but my question to you is, when you encounter obstacles in relationship, for example, do the feelings indifferent and detached have meaning for you?
Oh, sure.
Is that, of course.
Sure, especially my,
okay.
Well, not in our relationship.
No, but just in, that's, you're so good at detaching.
Yeah, that's,
it's
and
a
that's
skill let me, that you have.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, okay. But Lisa notices a lot about me.
He doesn't get emotional or upset. He's just completely even keeled. He just detaches from whatever's going on.
Of course. So, and the reason I say of course is because an eidetic image will, especially this one, which is called the house image, will always show you the place that it is ready, is the difficulty for that person in this moment. Mm-hmm. In terms of where they're wanting to go in their life. It shows the situation and it can also open. So yeah, so that's perfect, Brian. And I appreciate that you didn't just look, but you let yourself be, well, you didn't let yourself, you were totally aware that it's indifferent and detached and it's very familiar. Then the work would be, just so you know, the work would be for, not just for you, Brian, but for people that had a detachment like that, then the question is, and you can say, but I'll say a couple possibilities for people. Let's say in relationship, like that's not going to work, right? If you're in a marriage or a partnership or even a business partnership, detached and indifferent is never going to work because that creates like an intense coldness in the whole relationship and a closing of the heart. And there can't be a connection in that those kind of situations. So inside this image, there are openings for those feelings to allow you, not you, just you, Brian, to allow a person to actually open up. Because even though indifferent and detached were the experience as a child, now it's not productive. It's counterproductive. It's against the person. Just think about what's happening to the physical heart with someone who's spends not necessarily you, Brian, but spends a lot of time detached and indifferent. The physical heart is going to close down. Like there is a tightness in the person. And so we're talking about many ramifications of indifferent and detached for a person, right? So this image is, and this, that's why this work is to me so beautiful. I don't know you, and yet it went straight to a place that both Lisa and Nicole were nodding mm-hmm. away when you said it. Great. And then the work is when a person engages with it, and the people I work with want something else. Not everybody does, but the people I work with do. So then they get to access beyond all that could come through when they were kids, like indifference and detachment. It's just, you know, when other people aren't connecting with you, you don't want to connect. Who wants to connect with someone who's not going to connect back? Okay?
Okay.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Oh, you're going to throw the ball over to me?
Yep. Over to you.
So like Brian, I saw my mom in the kitchen, but I also saw my dad in the kitchen. It was a home that I lived in when I was 12. And my dad had just come home from work. My mom was cooking dinner and they were arguing And it was always the argument of, you don't understand what I go through during the day. And it would be this back and forth. My heart's like squeezing right now, just as I say it.
Yes.
And I saw myself in the kitchen with them on the other side of the counter, which was an island. And my feelings were anxiety and feeling like, how do I make this better? How do I make this better? Yes. And then I saw myself kind of shrinking away and getting smaller and smaller. And almost like, then I saw myself on the floor trying to crawl away, like silently.
Mm. Okay. Okay. And you were 12 when you lived in this house. How old were you in the image?
I believe I was around 12. It was in my early teens, late preteen kind of.
Okay. All right. All right. So can we work with this a little? Okay. So I completely didn't do this at the beginning, but it's not a terrible thing. If you had, so I'm going to go about it a different way. What would you say is the number one thing that's an obstacle for you right now, Nicole, in your life? Maybe you're working on it. Maybe you've moved on it, but it's really a place that you would like to move along further, and it's troubling you.
Well, the first thing that comes into my mind was the phrase "letting go," releasing.
Releasing. Okay. And can you give an example where that shows, how that shows up, where you're not releasing as much or you're holding on instead of letting go? For example, how that shows up specifically? Do you mind?
Well, I'm currently moving through a major healing with my physical body, and it's bringing up a lot of emotions. And perhaps emotions I don't think aren't necessarily mine. Some of them are, but emotions that I've held on to and I don't know how to let go of.
Okay. So can you give me a practical example about how it shows up, like in relationship or in your work, in your business?
Okay. Letting go of the need to make it perfect for everyone.
Okay. Yeah.
Letting go of the need to not show I'm handling it. I want to show I'm handling it, and I'm afraid to let go of that. Yes. That I'm not.
Yes. All right. And I'm just a side note to all your listeners. One of the things I so appreciate about the three of you is that to be a real leader, I think, takes a willingness to be visible and vulnerable, which the three of you are obviously willing and able to do. And I just want to make a comment about that to your listeners, because it's not an easy thing. And the three of you make it look easy, but it's not an easy thing to do. And it takes guts. So I want to appreciate that out loud.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, so let's go back to your image. So you can see how the not needing to make things perfect, to let go, and then the whole thing of how can I make it better? How can I make it better? How can I make it better? Showing up in the image are like directly related, right? That's okay. All right. So again, just like with Brian, we're really seeing a tender place in you that's showing up in your image at 12 in this particular image. Fair to say, Nicole?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So this is one eidetic image. I'm going to do a couple things with you with other aspects of eidetic images. The listeners and Lisa and Brian, you can both try this too. It may or may not be exactly what each person needs, but you can still try it in your image. So I'm going to work with Nicole. So Nicole, in that place where you're on the other side of the island in the kitchen and you're feeling anxious and your heart is squeezing, like go back to look at that. It's an eidetic image, so it's right there for you. And I can see that you're already there. And go back into seeing what they're doing. You just don't understand what I go through. And they're arguing with each other, and you are wanting, and you're shrinking, and your heart is squeezing. You're right there, yes? Nicole, you're seeing it first and then feeling it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, see that a cool wind comes down from the heavens. It's a gift from the gods. And it swirls around the young you in the kitchen. And you can feel that coolness swirling around you. And then watch as out of you number one pops you number two. Now number one disappears. So as number two pops, what does number two look like? First of all, to notice what number two looks like. And then what does number two do? Take your time.
So number two is standing much taller.
Yeah.
But number two is standing with her arms crossed, her chest, like folded and crossed.
Okay. All right. What's the feeling in number two?
Give it up already?
To them, you mean?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I want you to keep, don't judge the arms crossed, right? In any way, just like, let it be, because this is your imaginal realm. It has nothing to do with what you should have done or anything like that. So see and feel the taller number two, experience that, experience the arms crossed. You could look through your image self's eyes and give it up already, and keep showing us what you're seeing and feeling as number two.
I just heard you're both valid.
Okay. Pay more attention to what you're doing than what you're saying.
I'm distancing myself. I see myself moving further and further away, but still standing tall with my arms crossed, almost like I'm witnessing it, but from a safe place.
And how does it feel to be you witnessing and distancing? Safe.
Well, my heartbeat's slowing down right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good sign. Yeah. Nicole, take your time. So, like, literally stay inside the image self. Distance. Safe. And feel your body. Look at your parents. What do you see now when you see them from this distance with your arms crossed?
The kitchen's getting brighter.
And how does that feel to see it brighter?
It feels a little happier and a little lighter.
Yes. So you keep looking. Exactly. So keep looking through your image self's eyes and see the brightness. Feel what that does to the atmosphere of the house, or the kitchen at least, and see what happens. Do you see your parents, or are they, what happens when you look at them? Take your time with all of this, because this is really helpful for you, going to be helpful.
They're calming down.
Okay, now really look and notice what it looks like and feels like to see them calming down. What it looks and feels like to your image self. Exactly. What just happened?
Relief. Pure relief.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. We could do this for a while, but for now, let's just say one more time, tell us what you're seeing and what you're feeling now.
They just hugged.
Now, how do they look hugging? What kind of a hug is it?
Genuine.
Yes. When you see that, how does the image self feel?
The whole kitchen, it's almost like there's this white light in the kitchen, and it's also a little like misty, cloudy, like not as like HD vivid as it was before, but more of like,
yes,
I'm viewing it in the, I know this is going to sound weird, but I'm viewing it in the heavens and the clouds. Like, I don't know. It's like this, maybe it's that kind of energy has come in. I don't know, but that's what I'm seeing. Everything's not as HD color. It's just.
Yes. Let's don't interpret it. Let me just ask you this instead. When it's less HD, notice how that feels to your eyes and your body as you look at it. And your heart, your soul, really, when it's less HD.
I just feel floaty, like I'm floating, like lighter.
Yes, exactly. We could stay with this, but I think, shall we stop for here? Mm-hmm. Okay, for now.
No, when all right. When we did the hypnosis with Nori Love, this is what was amazing about Nicole, to be able to get into this imagery. And I think why this exercise was more difficult for me, because Nicole has this awareness and ability to be able to see the changes. And for me, it's a picture. And that's, you know, because of the way my memory works, it's just a series of pictures that I can look at. But for you, you actually are really, really good at feeling and experiencing, and, you know, maybe because I'm more detached from my feelings, but I think that's just incredible to listen to Nicole, you know, give those images and to be able to see changes. And I was just, while she was doing that, and, you know, you were asking those questions, I was kind of thinking about what I was doing, and I don't think I could have, because it was just this picture or this 3D model that I can move around, and I don't think I could have had experiences like that, who I am right now.
You know, Brian, I really agree with you. For Nicole's first time, or even like for the 50th time, Nicole was really able to go with, you were able to go beautifully without interfering with your image, Nicole. And that's what allowed you to go to such a deep place. And I want to talk about that in a moment. But first, I want to address what you said, Brian. The indifference and the detached, I mean, those are feeling states that a lot of people feel and or don't feel, you know, but experience. And because you're so good at eidetic memory, when I work with Lisa, what I'm going to suggest to you, that if you want to, and for people, your listeners who are like you, to don't think about your image. The thinking is just, again, going to take you back to what you already know. And what you know is very solid in you. Just let yourself see, not trying to force you to feel something, because that's deadly. You just let it be alive, not a snapshot.
Well, yeah, and I think that was the big key, you know, those, and this is what Nicole was able to do in her, you know, what Nicole was able to do when we did the hypnosis.
Yes.
It was like being in a movie, you know, just listening to her describe it. I mean, it was like, wow.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, that's a big difference, a snapshot versus like, not just watching a movie. Nicole's there. I mean, you can just see that when she's doing these things. She was there at, right now, she was there then. And I mean, that is just incredible.
I saw the utensil my mom was holding. I saw the tiles on the counter, and I totally forgot that we had those tiles on the counter. It was like this blue tiles, and I saw the edge of the counter, like all the stuff that I would have never remembered had I like thought about the kitchen.
Yes,
it just kind of showed up.
Exactly. So the second image that we did, which is called an emanation, where the cool wind came down from the heavens, So again, that's one of thousands of images, eidetic images, and it allows us to access a different part of ourselves that's there, but is covered over by the crust of history. So history molds us to be who we are. And you can see in the situation what it did to your heart, how it made you want to crawl away and disappear, basically, and that was showing that that's how you were feeling and what you were seeing in your image. But underneath, and the arguments, and you know, you just don't get me, and all of that was between the parents, even though that may not have been all that was there, but it was prominent for you right now. Like, that's the really juicy part of what's important to me, what's really important about these images. They're not just some random image. It's an image that's deeply connected to what is happening, what's being called for right now in the self in order to move further. So the crust of history was covering over so many, the parts of you that were able to stand literally stand, and emotionally stand taller, have some distance, but it wasn't the kind of distance, and correct me if this is wrong, Nicole, but it wasn't the kind of distance that made you cold and hard. Could you describe the kind of distance that it was? It wasn't setting these really stark boundaries. You're there and I'm here and I'm not letting you get to me. It wasn't like that at all. What, right? I could see that. What was it like?
No, so this is really interesting. The kitchen that I grew up in this particular kitchen, had a breakfast nook at the end, a really large one. And it was completely surrounded in windows, skylights above it, a very open air. And that's where I was moving more towards, was getting closer to that, but still being in the kitchen watching them. So it was almost like I was moving to the light. But still being in the same room with them.
Yes.
Not leaving the room.
Yes. So in this work, rather than go to a metaphor, which you sort of, you know, you weren't really doing that, but rather than going to a metaphor, what you stay in is what you see and what you experience, because that's the change agent. So literally for you, the light that was always there in that image and in that kitchen became more prominent, and the atmosphere also lightened up, both light and emotionally. And then what was so powerful was then they hug, and it's a genuine hug. And what's so important about,
we've lost audio on you. Hold on. Wait. Cause she's going to come back in. She's going to come back in. There she is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Here she is.
You're back.
There you are.
Okay. All right.
You're back.
All right. Thank you. So what's happening is that, there was a genuine hug, a genuine hug. Now, what was so important about this for your image was that you didn't say, oh, I wish my parents would hug. I'll make them hug in the image. That's not what happened. It was spontaneous in the image, and you felt it. And you felt that your heart started beating slower. It actually affected your body. Now, why is this important in life? Because if a main thing that you're working with right now, and we could extrapolate to everybody listening, that the main thing that's happening for you right now that you're working on is letting go, not trying to change things, not trying to make things be different than they are. And in this image, that's what you so desperately wanted as a kid, was for things to be different. But you can't, in my opinion, you cannot try to pretend that things are different. We have to experience the change, not in our head, not in our mind, not from our what we think would be better, but you actually experienced it differently. And so that's beginning to make a shift in you. that distance, that standing taller, that ability to be, a lot of people would say you set boundaries, but often what people mean by boundaries are barriers. And what was different here is that you were able to be yourself, but at the same time, not be overwhelmed by them. So you no longer had to get them to stop because there was enough space for you surrounding you that you could be yourself. And from that, actually things started to change in them and you got to feel them. Not that, and that what's most important is that that's what is happening inside you now. Now. So you get to feel that in you. How does that, anything you want to say about that, comment about?
So how does that start to shift my reality now from experiencing
hang
this?
Hang on just a sec. I want to change this. Lighten that up a little. So for my, let's say you were a client and we were doing some work. So the work would be, we would continue to, for example, we would continue to go back into this image where you would continue to see and feel yourself in this kitchen with those parents, which are not fantasy parents. They came through in such a way that it literally changed how your heart was beating. And when you get to experience that kitchen, for example, and those parents and that you, that builds the neuronal pathways. It actually opens up the pathways that have been all covered over so that you have access to that part of you, not so that you can remember to be more distant but and to feel better, but it literally, those that feeling of self starts to naturally emerge because you're connecting to it viscerally.
How long does that take? How many times, for instance, would she need to do that?
Yeah, of course. Like, for example, it's very, very, very possible that from this one experience, Nicole will start to see subtle shifts. And it's very, very possible, depending on what a person wants, you know, and how blocked they are, that it could take longer. But I expect for my clients, and this is why, you know, I told you that story, when I finally understood what this work was, I expect people to have at least subtle and noticeable shifts every time they work and do an image. Because it can't, as long as you're not controlling it, it can't be anything but that. Again, partly because I think of the pathways, the neuronal pathways, as having like a pathway that is overgrown and has brambles all over it and twigs and fallen trees. And what the images do is they start to clear those pathways that are already there, but they've been covered over by our history. And we've been going in a different direction. So they're kind of inactive. They have messages have a harder time getting through the electronic, the neuronal messages. So yeah, this is for practical external and internal change. Otherwise, why do it?
So are you saying that, like, for instance, say I was, I'm just going to use Brian and Lisa as an example, which it never happens, but say I'm at their place and they start arguing the way my parents were arguing. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that I would experience it differently because of the shift?
You might, you know, let's say you've really done some real work. Okay. Yes. Yes. You would, the knee-jerk reaction to have to fix something will lessen and lessen and lessen because that's not the way you came in. You can see how it developed just from this image.
So is that,
but okay, there's more.
I understand. Is that something you've felt, Nicole, when you've been around other people? I mean, obviously not us, but when you've been around a couple or people that were arguing, you felt that, like, that brought memories up for you?
Good question.
Yeah, even like in past relationships when I would have arguments with my partner, I couldn't stand it when it got like really loud and angry and to a shouting, like a more of an aggressive point state. And my instant reaction was like, I just want to shut down. I want to get smaller. And I can't handle this. So if I don't start, if I can move through and not have that feeling where I don't feel so controlled by it.
Let's do a little experiment, if that's okay. I know we want to get to Lisa too, but you want to do an experiment? You want to do a little experiment, Nicole?
Okay. are we role playing here or what's going on?
No, I don't do role playing. I only do eidetics.
Okay.
I want you to, we didn't say this, but and we didn't talk about my too much about my bio or anything, but I was trained completely traditionally, psychodynamic psychotherapy. I was trained in extremely traditional clinical social work at Smith. And then even when I was at Smith, it didn't seem like enough. So I started explore my thesis, actually. So this is something I've been interested in forever, is how do people really change? Who cares about halfway change? I don't. If something's distressing me about the way I'm being, I don't want to just think differently about it. I don't want to make peace with it. I want to have the cells of my body different. I want to be in the world differently. So that's why I actually closed my practice for, I don't know, 10 years or something like that for a while, because I just didn't think what I was doing, even though I had a completely full practice, was enough. So then I also trained in completely non-traditional stuff, emotion release, body work, energy work, Ericksonian hypnotherapy, family therapy, all kinds of other less traditional. I actually let them all go when I discovered this work, all of it, because for me, nothing touches who we are as a person the way this does. So that's why I wouldn't do a role play right now. I'm going to actually do this eidetically. Let's see if we can do a little practical thing here. So this is another part of a way to work with an eidetic image. So Nicole, you're asking, how would this help me if, let's say, you didn't ask this exactly, but you were saying that even in relationship, the whole arguing thing would really trigger you and make you go into all the things that came up in the image, feeling smaller and wanting to go away, basically, and wanting to do something to stop it. Fair to say? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So go take a moment and go back and see the image of you number two with your parents in the kitchen and tell us what you see now.
Everyone's just going about their business.
Okay. And where are they? What are they doing exactly? Where are you? What are you doing? What happened?
My dad's going into the cupboards to eat snacks.
Okay. And what's his energy like?
His usual self, just looking for food.
Okay. All right. Now don't go there. Just like, as you see him, like how is he doing it in a happy-go-lucky kind of way, like freeway, just really notice. Yeah. That's what I'm seeing. Cause I'm looking too. And your mom?
She's back to cooking and, just focused on getting dinner finished and.
Yeah. Notice.
I just heard. It's interesting. I just heard music and we've never listened to music in the kitchen before, but I've always loved music playing in the kitchen when I'm cooking. That's interesting.
I can't hear Nicole.
Oh,
music started playing.
We lost her again.
Oh.
Music started.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep. Yeah.
Can you hear us?
Okay.
We just can't. Yeah. We know.
Wendy's going to come back in, I think. She just dropped out. Here we go.
Wendy?
She's coming back in. Yeah, she's there.
There you go. Okay.
Okay.
I couldn't hear you. So what are you seeing when the music comes on?
No, just it's very interesting because when I was living in the Cayman Islands, I started towards the last couple of years I was there playing music that made me really happy when I was in the kitchen, like cooking breakfast or dinners. And I just got really, you know, it's something that I knew I wanted to do with my family when I had one. And to hear the music playing in the kitchen all of a sudden is so interesting to me because we never listened to music in the kitchen, but it just started playing.
Yes, yes. So, okay. So now stay listening, stay in your image, stay in your image, let yourself hear it. Try not to think about it, just experience the image. And where are you and what are you doing?
I'm setting the table.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel in this image at this moment?
Happy.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Good. Now, how's your heart feel now since you were talking about it feeling so small before? How does it feel
open.
Now?
Open.
Open. All right. Now we're going to now do a different aspect of an image. So take this whole image, which is image and feelings, and just keep it in the back of your mind. So it's kind of running in the back like a waterfall always runs, even though you may not notice that it's running, but it's always running, right? You're going to put it in the back of your mind so it'll be a filter now. Mm-hmm. And now see a situation which has triggered you with in a relationship where you just, you know, felt like you had to control it or make it be a certain way, couldn't let go of it. See, and don't think, just and see the image of you and that person. So it's not a memory, Nicole. You're actually letting it have a life of its own and you're seeing you in that person, but you're keeping your cupboard music image, dad looking in the cupboards, music and you being happy image in the back of your mind, and see yourself with this person that you were or are in relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
Keep watching your relationship image. Let it have a mind of its own. It's not a memory. Just see it. And keeping that other image in the kitchen image in the back of your mind, and tell us what you actually see with you and this person.
I wrapped my arms around his neck and smiled and just fell into his chest.
Now notice how he looks, how you feel with your arms around his chest.
He's smiling and feeling proud.
You look surprised at that. So don't think about it. Just let yourself feel.
Because that's not something I would have thought. You know,
exactly. Exactly. So here's the juice of it. Let yourself experience something that you wouldn't have thought, which is that he's proud. And feel that and keep watching.
Oh, we're dancing now.
Yeah. Now, at this exact moment in this image, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being super high, how do you feel about needing to control him or the relationship?
I don't feel it at all.
Exactly. Now, do you think you created this and just made this out of pretend, or does it feel real to you?
No, it feels real.
Yeah, exactly. So you can come back.
She's so good.
So this is an example.
It's unfair. You're so good at that.
Great.
She is really good at it because she lets it happen. But I have to tell you this. When I first started, I couldn't see and I couldn't feel. And still, I started to feel differently inside. Just from the at least coming a little smidgen out of the way I was trying to control everything in my head and letting myself see even vaguely. Oh my God, I was like the worst client. But it helped me because it's not natural. This work wasn't natural to me like it is to you, Nicole. But you don't have to be. You're brilliant at this because you let it happen. And when you think, you're able to let it go, which is exactly what's needed for change using this tool.
Interesting. Wow, that was really powerful.
You want to say more so people understand what it was like for you? I understand, but...
I mean, to see the shift happen in such an instant way, you know, like nothing had to happen. It just shifted on its own.
Exactly.
Is really, really powerful to witness.
Yes.
But not just witness, like feel it. I really felt it.
Yes.
And, you know, those are some things that I would never have, like, that idea of him feeling proud, I would have never thought that on my own. Like, that's just something I would have never thought of him ever feeling or seeing that in his face. Like, I don't, so that to me just speaks to the, that it's coming from somewhere else than my mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we put so much attention on our mind, and we, even though we feel spiritual and we put spirituality as such a high priority, so many people listening to this podcast, I'm sure do. And then when it comes to a problem, we try to solve it with our rational mind way too often. And it's like that there's a huge disconnect in people these days. And I think it's because it's very hard to find something other than, well, just feel differently or just think differently. But in fact, this is another way in.
Well, so Lisa, why don't you share with us?
Okay. I don't have a lot to share. I think I'm a little more like Wendy was. It's really hard for me to. I think my mind just takes over too much. And I had a less than ideal family mother-father situation. So that was difficult. Like I wasn't sure where I was going to go. And then you had said, don't really think of an image. So I was trying not to think of a memory. I was just trying to see where I showed up. And so I showed up at the house that I grew up in until I was about 10.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was there. I walked in the house like I had been gone because I spent most of my time at my grandmother's.
I'm surprised when I was that young. See your grandparents, actually.
Well, she said parents, so I think I was honing in on my mom.
Okay.
And because I lived mainly with my grandparents during the week and would come home on the weekends.
Yes.
And I saw my mom and she was in the kitchen. I couldn't see her right away, but I could hear her because the way the door, you know, the living room was there and there was a wall around the kitchen. I had to walk around, but I knew my mom was in there and I just felt really happy to see my mom was really happy to see me. And I was really happy to see her. I just felt actually a lot of love. And then I was really trying like, okay, I'm not trying to go to a memory here. Like, and then I found myself just in a memory of my mom just like sitting on the front porch. Again, when I like came home, got dropped off and she was just so full of love to see me. She was so happy to see me.
Wow.
And that's really all I could get. Like
wait,
my rational mind wanted
yes,
to say
okay.
so many other things. And I was like, all I feel is love.
Okay. So this is great, Lisa. So let's talk about this. Let's get your rational mind, like have its voice. So the rational mind was saying, basically, I'm going to guess, the rational mind is saying something like, well, that didn't happen very often, or that's not the way it was. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay. No. I thought you said it wasn't that you had a lot of difficulty in your childhood.
But my mother really loves me, and I was the light of her life. And so every time she saw me, she was really happy. So that's real. That is true. That is real. Now, other than the fact that, you know, my mom was an alcoholic, there was a lot. I'm the youngest of eight. All my other siblings have a different father. I felt very disconnected from my family. You know, I lived away came back, there was a lot of other stuff. My mom is, you know, depressed and struggling, usually yeah. not happy, like always worried. I feel like if I had to just go back and think about it, I would think that she was always worried about money and our lights being turned off and getting food on the table and just all that stuff.
Yes.
But all I could feel when I saw her was love. And okay. all I felt was how happy she was to see me.
Okay. All right. So can we go into this a little
sure.
bit? Okay. So like I asked Nicole, and I really should have asked this right at the beginning before we started, but what would you say the number one thing is that is up for you these days that you're wanting to experience a shift in inside yourself?
I think right now for me, it's like a sense of purpose. It's like, I feel like I've somehow shut this big part of myself off. I can't really, it's hard to explain. And I don't, I'm trying to turn it back on. Like it
Can
was
you give
never
us
turned on or it's been off since I was very young. Like I'm so focused on everybody else that I never was really focused on me, like what my needs were and what I want.
Okay. All right. That's really helpful. Okay. So now see that you're, go back to your image and see that you're coming home and, or the memory too. You can go to either one, but if you're going to the memory, then I'm suggesting you leave it as what's called a memory image. So you're actually looking at it and experiencing it. Pick one.
Okay.
Which one are you going to go to?
I'll go to the, just the non-memory, just
okay, the image.
Home.
Okay.
My mom's
okay.
Kitchen.
So see that you're coming home, your mom's in the kitchen and you're seeing her and it's, she's so, you know, like you said, she's so happy to see you and it's pure love. Mm-hmm. And let yourself look through your young eyes and see that and feel that. And keep us with you. So show us, whether it's vague, it doesn't matter.
I just see my mom wrapping her arms around me and holding, picking me up, just smiling.
Okay. And how old are you now in the image?
I would say I'm pretty little, like three. Maybe 3 or 4.
All right. Okay. And so experience whatever it's like, see what you're seeing as she's picking you up and experience your 3 or 4 year old self as fully as you can without trying to push any feeling, just whatever's happening.
She's so full of light. She's so happy.
Yes. And what's it like for you, the 3 or 4 year old, to feel that right now?
It's good. It's just like she's all I see.
Okay. Stay with it.
She's like, now her energy is all that I feel.
Yes. And stay with it. So take it slowly. See and feel. See and feel. It doesn't have to move or change. Just be with it for a while.
Yeah, I just feel like I have this little hood on. She's trying to get my jacket off. Mm-hmm. But
and what's that like? It doesn't have to be bigger than it is, but experience the nuances of her taking the hood off and being next to her like that or whatever you're seeing, and just take us with you by showing us what you see and feel.
You know, it's just, it's not like that in my head, like it is for Nicole. Like I'm not, it's like a frozen image, really. It's like, that's all there is. I just.
Okay. Please don't compare yourself to Nicole. Okay. All right. Please. Cause that's going to interfere. You're actually doing fantastically. And I want to take you to another little place, but it'll need you to just stay with even the frozen image. Show us the frozen part or whatever it looks like right now.
Yeah, it's my memory of what I was telling you before now. It's just,
okay.
It's only what
okay.
I remember.
Keep your eyes on it. Tell us what you see in this exact second. Again, it doesn't have to be different, just what you're actually seeing, even if it's vague.
Just being on my mom's hip.
on your mom's hip, and what do you look like? What does your face look like? What does your little body look like? What's your experience of being on your mom's hip? Be inside your little self.
I feel like I have this fluffy sweater, hooded sweater on. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I just look, my mom has on, she has on an apron, and I can feel myself sitting on her hip. She's thin, and I can feel her like hip bone.
Yes.
So I can feel myself sitting on her hip, and I just keep seeing her. It's going to make me cry, like her amazing smile.
Yes. Yeah, you're doing fantastic. Exactly.
I always freaking cry. Every time.
Okay, stay with it. So feel that, see what you're seeing. You're on her hip. You can see that beautiful smile and all that love. And if you could, if the young you could do or say anything right now, what would you like to do or say if you knew it would be 100 billion% okay? Feel that and then see that you do it and watch what happens.
I would just say that I love you, mommy.
So if that's what you're feeling, then see that you say that and watch what happens.
She just looks really happy.
Yes. Yes. Keep looking and letting it in. See if you can just let your any thoughts or meaning go and just keep looking and let yourself see it. And at this moment, can you feel, I'm rushing a little because this could take longer, but at this moment, Lisa, can you feel, is there any part of you that needs to take care of this mommy in this image right now? Or not? In this exact moment?
I feel like I know how happy I make her.
Yes. So you don't have to do anything.
I feel like I am making her happy.
Yes. Yes. Now see that. Look in her eyes, feel her body, whatever way you're experiencing it, and experience that I am making her happy, and what that looks like, and especially what that feels like to the little you.
Feels pretty powerful. Like,
yes, it does. Like what?
Just like, wow, like I have the power to make her happy. Like, yes. She could be really sad and I show up and she's really happy.
Yes.
I don't have to do anything.
Yes. Exactly. Just stay with looking at that and experiencing that for another couple moments so you can really see what's happening in your eidetic image.
I feel like I'm going to get down off my mom now. Like,
yes, exactly.
I'm going to go run into the living room and go play with my,
yes,
with my siblings.
Yes. Yes. Okay. See that. That's what I have been seeing for a while. See that and feel what that feels like to leave her and go and play in another room.
Yeah. I feel fine. I feel good about it. Like I'm energized and excited now to go see my siblings. I've moved on from my mom.
Yes. You feel what from your mom?
I moved on. Like,
exactly.
I'm not there anymore.
Okay. All right. Now pick a situation. We're going to go to a different image like we did with Nicole. Pick a situation where you would tend to feel that everybody else's needs are, what would the word you would use? Stronger or...
Oh, everyone's needs are more important than my own?
More important. Yeah. Pick a situation in the current life where you feel that.
Oh.
You don't have to say what it is, but just pick it.
I having trouble finding one. I'm really trying not to be that way anymore.
Okay, but
it happened.
Okay, I'm gonna say something.
Okay. Go ahead.
I want to say something about that, Lisa, because that is what everybody does. We are trying not to be like that anymore. And what you have an opportunity here is to actually have that happen, but not by trying.
It's like creating a new memory, basically.
No, not at all. Let's just do it.
Okay.
Not at all. Sorry. So pick a situation where that is happening, even though you wish it wasn't.
Okay.
You wish it weren't. And keep your whole mother three-year-old image in the back of your mind. So her hip, her love, and running into the other room and playing. It's the whole thing, the image and the feelings, in the back of your mind like we did with Nicole. And now see yourself in this situation where you wish it weren't true, but the other's needs feel stronger, more important.
Okay.
And watch that current image while keeping your other three-year-old image in mind. And tell us what you see in the current image without trying to make it better. Just be curious.
I have no images in my head, really, just other than a memory of, I was thinking about a couple weeks ago. I don't know if this is what Brian was thinking about, but.
Memory's fine. Just look at it, though. Don't think about it in your head. Actually see it. Then it'll be, have a life.
I'm thinking about playing cards with Brian and his parents and my neck.
Okay.
My neck really hurts.
Okay. So see it. See that you're playing cards. It might be that memory. That's fine. But look at it and your neck really hurts. Mm-hmm. Now put that image of you with your mom and the playing image, the whole thing in the back of your mind, feeling it. And then keep looking at the image of playing cards with Brian and his parents. Just see what happens to the memory image. What do you see? What do you feel? You might keep more of your attention on your eidetic image from three-year-old than your attention is on the playing cards image, if you can. But you want to have both.
Yeah, I'm not really. My other mind wants to just take over and take control, like of what I know that it needs to do. And I'm just going to do that. So it would not be authentic. It would be me making myself do something that
isn't coming. Really. So, okay. So we're pushing a lot here. I mean, this is a lot to do in one podcast, right?
Yeah.
Right. And it's important that happened because, I mean, that is the primary thing that my private clients and my mastermind clients have learned to do over time is to not interfere with what we so want to change and make better in our heads, right? Especially because we've thought about these things and part of our minds knows, quote unquote, what to do. And the reason that I do this work is that I've seen in myself and of course in my clients that the different self starts to emerge without having to kind of squeeze that into happening, without having it to have to be more forced into happening or pushed into happening. And that is a process. That's a process for us to be able to believe that there's a part of us that can be a different way naturally.
With both Lisa and Nicole, you said that's what I'm seeing. You were seeing imagery as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. It's fun that you asked that, Brian. When I was first starting with this work and I was mentored and taught by Dr. Asen, the father of this work, and I said, you know, I'm really having trouble with this particular client. And he says, well, that's because you're not looking at the image, you're thinking. So what I really had to learn, and again, this was a process of me relying too much on my head. What I'm also doing when I'm working today, for example, and when I'm working with my clients is I'm also looking at the image. I'm not thinking about what's happening. I am thinking about what I could do to help, but I'm looking at the image. And the reason that that's so important and is that it's not because I'm going to see something that then they're going to see later. It's not that I have some, you know, intuitive knowledge that they don't have. It's nothing
well,
like that.
Well, hang on a second. I mean, that's interesting because with Lisa, before she got to the living room and wanted to play with her sisters, you said, when she said that, you're like, oh, that's what I'm seeing. So you were a little bit ahead of the curve.
I was ahead because, yes, but that doesn't mean that I have the answers or that what I'm seeing is right. I saw Lisa a long time ago in the image, in other words. I saw her much earlier getting off the hip and being free. I saw her getting filled up with all this love and then going off happily and playing. But it didn't matter because Lisa's psyche is taking Lisa at the way Lisa needs to go. And maybe my image was not right. Maybe that something else was going to happen. Sometimes when my clients are working, they're working in the mastermind and they're seeing each other's images, a lot of times a client will see someone else's image and they'll see something that person was actually seeing but didn't quite realize it. And it opens the mind more. You know, we all have our own resistance to... This is such a strange thing about being human. We say we want something and then we fight like crazy against it, right? Oh my gosh, I'm going to come back. I'm circling around here, Brian. So one time when I was working with Dr. Asen, what I realized was I was starting to feel better inside my image and inside my body. It was by phone. He was in a different state. And literally like New York State, not just state. And I didn't want him to know I was feeling better. I barely wanted to admit it to myself, which is nuts because I was paying him to feel better. But this is what we do. So the images will always, 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 always take us to our potentials if we don't interfere with them. Again, like the finger. And we're going to defend against change in an image because that's not how it was. But the thing is, we're not working with history. We're working with a person right now. We're working with our deepest consciousness. So when another person, let's say one of my mastermind clients sees an image, let's say they were watching Lisa's image, they might say, oh, I'm seeing this. And
hang on.
And because the other person isn't as defended against feeling better in that situation, because I'm not defended against feeling better for Lisa or Nicole or you. I'm only defended against feeling better for myself. So it's like a positive Trojan horse kind of coming in with a gift. Does that make sense, Brian? I went to a lot of different places with that, but yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Please do.
I just thought it was very interesting. It just popped into my mind. When you, Wendy, said, Lisa, when you finally got off your mother's hip, and I just had that sense of being attached at the hip, you know, coming in, and that you had freed yourself from that attachment.
So wait, Nicola, so let me really say something about that. Were you sitting on mother's hip as Lisa, or were you thinking about her image? And were you thinking about, like, were you actually inside the image feeling squirmy, like I got to get off, like I'm attached at the hip? Or is that more of a thought or interpretation?
It was just something that came into my head.
Okay. So this is so important. So Lisa, did you feel like you had to free yourself at that, when it was happening in the love part? Not later, but at all in the beginning. I'm going to really show you something super important about the mind here.
I'm getting stuck on the word have. I feel like I had to free myself?
Yes, that's the word. No, that's the word.
I didn't. I just felt like it was time to get down. Like,
and
the moment was over and it was time to get down.
Yes. So, Nicole, I hope you don't mind my doing this, but it's so okay, good. It's so important what you're doing. So the contribution of this work is that it starts with an image. Then there's many feelings that are inside of that image that come from that image. And then there's multiple layers of meaning. But the change happens because of staying in the image and the feelings, the image and the feelings. The minute you go to possible interpretation, mm-hmm. you lose the possibility. So if you go into her, Lisa's image co-consciously, you will see that in the hip place, it's nothing but love. There is nothing but love. Right, Lisa?
Right.
Right? There's a deep experience of connection and love.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important to just stay in the image. There are intellectually what you're saying makes sense at certain points. Of course, we need to eventually leave the mother and go off and live our life. But the deep possibility for change is inside staying with the image. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. It's so important. It's one of the ways that it's the hugest, the biggest contribution of this work and how this work understands the mind. But it can be hard because when we're smart and we know a lot, we want to use our mind to understand. And what I've learned for myself is that this work has taken me places that my intellect couldn't take me. My mm-hmm. understanding of the world just wasn't taking me. Like you said, like Lisa said, actually, about the, now I'm forgetting, I'm mixing it up, sorry. Who said that there was pride? It was pride. I think it was Nicole, right? Nicole. That you felt, you said, I never would have thought of that. Right?
Yeah. No, I understand. I see where you're going with it. How programmed we are to use our minds to solve it versus just allowing the image to do the work.
And that would be fine if the mind could actually solve it.
Yeah.
But what we hear over and over, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, is really what Lisa said before. You hear this, we all say this. I'm trying not to feel that way. I'm trying to do that differently. And what I know now, which I didn't know before, is that you don't have to try. The pathways are there, but they're covered over, deeply covered over. And all the things that you all talk about all the time in your podcasts, those are part of the covering over. But this works through the pathways. This opens those pathways. So it doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. It doesn't matter what the quote unquote norm is. It doesn't matter because we've got our own way through it. That's how I see it.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
You are so open to, I so appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for doing this with us. It was a whole new experience for me. I've never worked that way before, so that's really, really cool.
You're welcome. You know, I didn't get a chance to talk to people about what might have happened, so can I just give people a resource
absolutely.
They can use?
Okay, yeah, great. Absolutely.
So, as I said, your experience, we saw three different experiences, and I'm sure your experience was different too, and to understand it more and also to get more of an understanding of how the mind, our minds interfere with why there's a gap between our spiritual practices and our life. I wrote a spiritual manifesto, which is available for free to download at www.my, spiritualmanifesto.com, just like it sounds, all one word. And in that manifesto, you'll get a chance to have access to experience more of an eidetic image virtually. You'll also hear some stories about people who, how the identification with certain parents, like in negative ways, something we absolutely don't want to do, can just stop us from being all of who we came here to be. And also to help you release some of the ways that your own mind is trying to solve things, but that's part of the problem, and much more. So myspiritualmanifesto.com.
I'll leave that in the show notes for everyone.
Thank you so much.
For that. Yeah. Well, that was great. I definitely learned something new today. So I love it when that happens.
That's great.
Thanks so much, Wendy. I know we've gone way over time what we had slotted for you. So thank you so much for being on the show. And we really appreciate you doing that demonstration with us. And I now have another tool to use, which is really fun.
Yeah, I'm going to play with it.
It was a deep, deep, deep pleasure to be with the three of you for me.
Oh. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for being on the show. And to all of our listeners, if you would like to work with Wendy or go look at her stuff, we're going to leave all the details for that in the show notes for you. And if you guys have any questions or topic ideas that you would like to share with us, please send that into our email info@enlightenup.us. And we will be back with you all again next time. Thank you so much, Wendy, for being on the show.
If you want a shirt.
Brian,
my higher self is smarter than your honor student, so this is one of your shirts you can buy.
We have shirts available with cute fun sayings on them that people can go to. They're in our store, in our merchandise, on our website. You'll be able to find that, and it just helps us support the show and keep it free for everyone. And the shirts are super comfortable. So again, thanks so much, everyone, and we will be back with you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.